The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Sean. This is an awesome paranormal and conspiracy show.
Yeah.
About everything.
Move over all other paranormal and conspiracy shows. Yeah. We're on the scene.
Move over with all your fake news. We got the best fake news around.
Yeah, this is premium fake news.
Premium fake news.
Yeah.
So, I'm talking to my wife today, and she's like, looking through Facebook, and some girl has posted about how she hates Gwyneth Paltrow, and she's the worst actress ever, and she needs to go die with her stupid bird face or something. And, like, it got me to thinking just how terrible people are, you know, to the point where...
Yeah, people aren't great.
You know, to the point where you can, like, you know, really have a personal opinion about Gwyneth Paltrow. It's like...
On the plus side, though, I feel happy for this person.
Why?
Because if you're at a point in your life where you're angry about actresses,
yeah,
you've got to be. You can't have that many real problems.
Everything else is coming up,
right?
You know, just awesome.
I mean, people are like that. When you remove all the real problems, you come up with, you know, imaginary problems. That's
Are you making fun of me for being entitled because of our prior conversation?
No. But I mean,
entitled,
I could be entitled
people. You know, yeah.
I think it's weird that that's how you interpreted it. Hey, okay, yeah. I mean,
you know, so this got me thinking about, like, you know, politics, and everybody is just fighting so hard. And I had read some other Facebook post where some guy had said that today I went out and I drove around and I had a gun and I wore some Nikes and I bought some Starbucks.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I, you know, did all this stuff. And, like, and, you know, he had a really good point. And, you know, here we are, you know.
And the punchline was, it's called being normal.
It's called being normal, yeah.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, I think, obviously, let our political opinions out there just a little bit, that, you know, we're more on the left than
a
lot of people on our radio station, you know. And so I just want people to know out there that, you know, as long as you're not a bigot and a jerk, you're all right.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
You know. You're all right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really care about that.
Or if you're not a Keynesian economist, then, you know, you can die in a fire.
I don't know. You lost me there. What is that one?
I have no idea. It doesn't matter. I was being facetious.
So something else funny in the news. So
as
here we are.
As to classical economics.
I see. Yeah, that's fitting, you know.
Yeah.
As long as you're, you know, not a...
I mean, those people are unholy freaking heretics.
Right, totally. You know? As long as you're not a...
As long as you're not one of them.
A globalist communist.
Exactly.
Or a
nationalist.
No,
I think that's the opposite, because I'm liberal, I picked those on purpose. Communists. Oh, okay.
All right. So, also in the news, it is smoky, because there's a new fire.
Oh, my God.
And it's brutal. And it's funny because the car fire was so close to here, but the smoke coming from this Delta fire is, like, worse, way worse.
Yeah. Well, I think
as far as air quality,
mostly a fluke of the wind.
Right.
What's going on. But the last few days were horrendous.
The news had reports. So my wife picks up my daughter from school today, and my wife's feeling nauseous because of the smoke.
Can't blame her. My
daughter gets in the car, and she's just all, yeah, I'm feeling nauseous because of the smoke. And... You know, Terry's talking to me, and she's just all, you know, I'll get sinus problems, my eyes will dry out, but I'm never nauseous because of it. And then there's, like, this report on the news about illegal pot grows catching on fire and meth labs and, like, honey oil things. And, like, so basically there's all sorts of, like, just crazy drug shadiness going on. Because, you know, we're kind of like at the corner, the very corner tip of this sort of green economy. You know, coming up from us is really where it starts to get wild when you go north.
Right.
You know, is really, you know, and so this is where this fire is pushing. And so so apparently we're all getting loaded.
Okay. I didn't notice anything other than, you know, headaches, so.
Yeah, well, you know.
But, you know, maybe I wouldn't.
That's how squares.
Maybe I'm too far gone.
That's how squares and noobs respond to it. You're a square and a noob.
I am a square and a noob.
All right, so what's going on with you this week?
Oh, you know, not a whole lot, but I've got to say I'm, you know, speaking of conspiracies and fake news and all that kind of stuff. This whole bit with the editorial in the New York Times, I'm sure you've heard about that. Everyone's heard about
that. I'm back and forth on this one, and this is why I can probably be called...
It's insane that this is even a thing, though, right?
Right. It is a little weird that people can get so invested in anonymity.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's certainly... Okay, there's a number of insane things
there
about this.
It's insane as to the way that... this White House might be running. It's insane that people back up anonymity. I find the whole thing just totally ridiculous. I think...
Right.
I think the real conspiracy here is to keep us spinning. I've said it before that for some reason I'm supposed to know how to fix the economy on a global scale, but if my car breaks down, I'm supposed to hire a mechanic. It's ridiculous. We are... It's like I can't... My wife literally has educated herself to the point of being an accountant to do our taxes. You know, she spent years training herself, and now she's really good and really fast at it. But, I mean, it is not a like, hey, let's sit down and take care of our paperwork. We're really organized.
Yeah.
But it is not so easy. You know, and this whole world, I think, has us set up to spin so that we don't focus on anything.
I mean, I don't think it's intentional. I just think...
I don't know. We're a conspiracy
show. The world is very complicated.
It
becomes exponentially more complicated, you know, the longer this whole civilization thing goes on.
But you don't think people are making it complicated on purpose?
I think, well, it depends on what you're talking about. I think taxes, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think, like, the stock market, definitely. But really, anything financial is probably, in large part, you know, people making things more complicated than they need to be so that their specialist knowledge is more valuable. Because it's like it's the same people deciding how complicated these systems are who are being paid to unravel these complicated systems. So, like, of course, there is an incentive to make them complicated.
Right, right.
But other things, like, I don't know, like medicine, the human body is just really complicated. Insurance? That's probably more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah,
you know,
medicine too. Look at the opioid crisis. I mean, that's people pushing drugs. They're drug pushers. You know, I can't go out and grow broccoli. I cannot grow broccoli in my backyard and start a broccoli company without investing massive amounts of money.
I feel like, though, that's an issue that is inherently complicated. No one went out of their way to make it complicated.
I don't know. Charles Ingalls on Little House on the Prairie, he could have started a broccoli company.
Well, okay, we're talking...
Is Charles Ingalls, that's a conversation stopper?
No, like, I'm aware of...
He was a real guy.
People, yes, but... I mean, you know, with technology and all, you can't be a little farmer on the prairie or whatever. In order to be at all relevant, you've got to integrate yourself into these tremendously complicated Leviathan systems.
Right, you got to become
a crush you if you step out of line.
Yeah, cybernetic gutter pumper.
But right, but. I would argue no one's really in control of those things, which is kind of scary, I think.
Right,
just,
well, I think they're all...
It's all just spinning crazily out of control, and who knows where it's going.
We're coming up on the break here. I think it was all little people trying to make little things complicated in order to seize control of their industries. All right. Coming up here...
Big topic there.
Big topic. Coming up here, we have T. Fox Dunham, host of What Are You Afraid Of? Podcast and the new medical mystery thriller, Mercy. Come on back. You feel it.
this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Hi, Lance Beck here, president of North State Security. Celebrating our 50th year of operations in Northern California, I wish to thank the Shasta County community for such great support over the last 5 decades. In appreciation, North State Security is having a contest. We're giving away $1,000 in gift certificates, $500 from R&R Meats, and $500 from Costco to the individual who come closest to guessing the total number of accrued man hours of North State Security officers have worked throughout the past 50 years. North State Security allows but one entry per family. Provide your guests for total hours worked in the 50-year period. Full name, home address, and phone number, then submit either in person or by mail to our headquarters. That is North State Security at 1970 Hartnell Avenue, zip code 96002. The winner will be announced Friday, November 30th. Submit your pick on total number of hours security officers have worked in the past 50 years for a chance at $1,000 in gift certificates. Submit on a full sheet of paper in person or mail to North State Security at 1970 Hartnell Avenue. Best of luck and stay safe.
It's the Shasta County Mini Maker Fair. It's the open call for makers. So, what do you make? We're celebrating engineering, arts, crafts, science, technology, and do-it-yourself. Your chance to show off your work. Everything from robotics, electronics, gaming, sewing, blacksmithing, crafters, student projects, dance performers, 3D printing, music, performers, and much more. Application deadline is August 9th for the September 15th Maker Fair. Contact makers at makerfairshasta.com or visit shastacounty.makerfair.com.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park and Dutch Bros Coffee are teaming up for the 6th annual Caffeinate for a Cause fundraiser. On Thursday, September 20th, all local Dutch Bros locations will be donating $1 from every drink sold, plus tips to Turtle Bay. This event will be held 7 to 9 a.m. and again from 2 to 4 p.m. Each Dutch Bros location will feature local celebrity baristas, plus live appearances from Turtle Bay animals. Caffeinate for a Cause on Thursday, September 20th. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
To Radio Wasteland, and our guest, T. Fox Dunham, host of the podcast, What Are You Afraid Of?, and author of a new medical thriller, Mercy, all caps. Do we have you there with us?
I am here, sir. How are you?
Do I call you T? Do I call you T. Fox?
You can call me Fox. I'm very happy with that.
Okay, Fox it is.
It's my totem spirit, so.
Yeah, I've never been sure how to roll with the first initial, you know, because... I always said that if I was going to be an author, I'd be C. Charles Hallworth, because that's my middle name, because it sounds cool, but I mean, you know.
Well, you know, the first initial stands for pretension. That's important.
Right. All right, so how are you doing this evening?
I'm fantastic, and hello, Radio Wasteland from the East Coast. I think I'm the only one left out here. We're all running from a hurricane down in the south.
Are you threatened by that at this point, or...?
Hopefully not, but they're saying it's going to come up into the Maryland area, so we'll see. We're definitely getting a lot of rain.
Well, we're on
running
fire.
From fires, so we'll meet you in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Kansas,
okay,
Oklahoma.
We're all rushing to the flyover states. Then.
Right. Exactly.
Where we'll all be taken down by a tornado, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
All right, so I wanted to, in the first segment here, to talk a little bit about your podcast, What Are You Afraid Of? I love the title. When I said it to my wife, she's just, oh, that sounds great. Because, you know, she just wants to dig into the fear of, of what each. I think she was thinking like irrational fears of clown suits or something, you know. That's but can you tell irrational. Us a little bit about your podcast?
Sure. What Are You Afraid of? Pod and Paranormal Show. I started the show because as an indie author, we do more promotion than we actually do writing out there stumping our book. And with my health, I can't really get out to a lot of the writing events. And, of course, public events are often sparsely populated with audience members, too. So I started the show to basically say, buy my book. And because I'm a horror author, I picked horror as the topic. And we decided to do a mix of horror, paranormal, ghost stories, little comedy, some banter, and use my connections in the horror writing community to bring on guests and new horror fiction and basically reach out to publishers, readers, and other authors.
Sounds great to me because I am, without a doubt, the most hardcore horror fan I know. It's kind of
like the show.
It's kind
and
of lonely.
Funny about the title, when we did it, we were just sort of all sitting around spitballing, and somebody said, well, what are you afraid of? And it just clicked, you know, that moment where it clicks, and you're like, there it is, there's the title. And without doing any research, I set up the title, and we got all these religious fans coming to the show. Apparently, what are you afraid of is a popular evangelist phrase for people. What are you afraid of dying? Are you afraid of hell?
Oh, so, I see. Well, that seems positive.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know.
in a way.
So that's what we built our market there. So.
Well, luckily, when you're dealing with horror, or you're dealing with the paranormal, or you're dealing with anything sort of counterculture, there's really no such thing as bad publicity.
Right.
You know, as long as you got those people talking about you out there, you know, that's good. So what are some of the topics you have on here? Can you give us an example of a recent topic? My interest has peaked.
Well, I think the episode we have coming up, which is episode, it should be 95, we have a psychic on, Michael Bodine, and he's a world-famous psychic. He's friends with people like Melanie Griffiths and Gary Busey's a friend of his, and he came on to tell us about some paranormal experiences he's had, and also, and one of the more interesting topics he brought up was a secret meeting of vampires, real vampires, in the woods.
Interesting.
So, that's
you great. Know.
Yeah. Well, I have a soft spot for vampires.
Yeah.
And I know quite a few.
There you go.
I'm a huge fan of...
We don't usually meet in the woods, but, you know.
Well, apparently you're missing out, you know.
Yeah, apparently.
I'm a huge fan of Clive Barker, and so I really enjoy these things when I... It's kind of the fantasy of Clive Barker's stories that, like, make you think that there's a world beyond. Like, it seems like a lot of stories and ghost stories are really sort of specific unto themselves with really sort of, like... No history or anything in there that sort of ties it into anything other than, you know, something bad happened and this is an echo of that or something. But anything that sort of conveys that there is this world and culture beyond, I find really interesting. So I do find the idea of these vampires and out there and, you know, I'm always asking psychics when they're on, like, you know, what's going on with the world beyond and, I don't know. You ever get a good answer on that from anybody?
You know, that's a question we ask our psychics, too. We've had a couple of psychics on over the summertime, and they're just one variety of many of the paranormal guests we have come on the show. And they often get elusive at first, and then they respond like they know more than we will, and they'll always know more than we will, but it's hard to lock them down in an answer. But I think my favorite was a psychic who came on, Carolyn Clapper, our first psychic, and she said, she talks about this council of angels or councils of soul who sort of watch over the living and guide people through life and death and then decide if you're good enough to come into the afterlife. And she'd met this council when she had gotten very sick when she was younger and died and passed on and come back. And you were saying, we do love listening to ghost stories. We have many paranormal investigators come on the show who are seeking that truth. And I think it gives us comfort that there might be something beyond death. And it's the only glimpses we really have.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, it's the thing that really kind of throws me off about, you know, because Sean and I, we started this show really kind of as skeptics. I don't know if skeptic is really the right word, as people who didn't know but were curious and interested but didn't really have any reason to believe anything. We came onto the and so I'm always sort of like, I don't know, looking for, like even with UFOs, I'm constantly looking for an intent. You know, it's like I get all the stories, I get the facts, I get the stuff coming in, but it's like I've never really got a good answer for intent. And that's where I kind of get a little bit lost on some of these paranormal things, because I always want to know, like, the why. And I guess maybe that's what makes people skeptics.
And it's fun.
It is fun, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, as a horror writer, I assume you are also a horror fan, and I grew up just loving horror and, you know, finding out, like, well, maybe there is something more, and that was really my gateway drug into paranormal.
I've always liked zombies, and we haven't done enough for zombies, and I'm so sorry to all the zombies out there. We will get to you, promise you, sir. So.
A lot of them aren't really good radio guests. A lot of one-word answers, brains and arg and all that, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
If you can get that out of them.
Yeah.
But, it's in the way they say it. It really is.
Well, we don't have too long till the commercial break, so I'm going to stick on zombies here because I have a bit of an issue with zombies, and you as a horror writer, I'm sure you have some input into this. I feel like the history of the zombie has been just sort of overwhelmed thanks to Richard Matheson and,
yes.
And oh gosh, why am I forgetting his name? He died. Night of the Living Dead. George Romero. You know, I feel like the actual history of the zombie, it's like we don't get any of those cool, like, Serpent in the Rainbow or White Zombie or these kind of cool old sort of singular voodoo zombie things anymore, and I'm really kind of disappointed in that in horror.
Well, it was George Romero who created them, and when he originally created them, I think it was something like the zombie or the mindless flesh eaters. He hadn't really called them zombies or the living dead, and, you know, and I have an issue with zombies, too, and you touched on this. My issue is that zombies don't sell anymore. I would love to spend my nights writing zombie fiction, but nobody wants it anymore. It was an oversaturated market.
It was a drastically. I hear they're making another spinoff of Walking Dead, you know. And I read an interview with George Romero, and he said that he wasn't willing to direct a Walking Dead because it was basically just a big soap opera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've beaten the undead to death.
They have. Yeah, totally they have. But, you know, I'm sure it'll come back around and hopefully with a new twist. But, you know, it starts to make you wonder when they rehash things so many times, there comes a point where there's just like nothing new. So it's up to horror authors such as you to excite horror fans such as me.
Well, I hope they do, because I've got a folder full of zombie stories I'm trying to sell. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, when we come back, I'm hoping to talk about your new book. We have about a minute here to go. How many books have you written?
I've actually written 3 full-length novels at 60,000 words.
So this new one, Mercy, is your third book.
There's some debate on that, because Mercy and my other book, Destroying the Tangible Illusion of Reality or Searching for Andy Kaufman, came out about the same time.
I see. So it's in your first three. It's tied for second.
It's in the trilogy.
All right. So you are listening to our guest, T. Fox Dunham, here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back. We'll talk about his new medical thriller, Mercy.
Take a break, driver rage, Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Speck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Back to Radio Wasteland and our guest T. Fox Dunham switching hats here, going from radio host to horror author. So I've had problems with authors in general being on the show because I don't want to ask them to give too much away from the book because the goal is that you want to buy the book, you know. So can you give us a quick rundown? A teaser trailer of what this book is about.
Absolutely. William Saint is dying of cancer. On most days, Death seems like a humane alternative to the treatment. He's stricken with fever, and he's rushed to a hospital, and he's in the last days of his life. And in those last days of his life, he's thinking about his past. He's haunted by broken hearts. He's haunted by regret. And when he gets to the hospital, they begin violating him, as doctors often do with medical tests, and torturing him. And he begins to learn that there's something wrong with this hospital. It's decaying. It's decrepit. And the doctors turn out to be something else, and they're feeding on him. They're preparing him. And his past explodes in front of him, and he must confront those regrets before moving on. Was that misty enough for you?
That's completely terrifying.
Yeah, that is terrifying, because, like, when I was reading a little bit about it, I'm just all like, is this supernatural? Because, like, one thing that I was reading about it was, like, sort of, you know, I was saying that it was horror, but when I read the topic, I'm just all, you know, well, this is potentially just very depressing, you know. But you know,
I think most horror walks that line of, honestly, this could happen.
It is, you know, I read a
good
lot.
Good horror, anyway.
I read, and they're trying to give that teaser trailer without giving away, you know. And so what you just told me definitely, you know, spikes my interest. So really, aside from, you know, supernatural, or even in the case of not supernatural, people getting stabbed to death in the face, you know, all the stuff that goes on in horror. Don't look at me like that, Sean. You're not a horror fan. You don't know what goes on. When you're writing, what do you try to channel to? Do you have a plan, like, to build tension and release it, kind of like a horror movie does? Or, you know, what's your writing process towards trying to write horror?
You know, that's very much what I do. You do plan tension. You learn how to pace tension. It's a lot like writing music. You learn how to create what's called micro tension. You do create a plan. And like a baker doing a souffle, you have to level it a certain way. Modern readers expect a rhythm. They expect a sine wave, a curve, when you're writing fiction at the beginning, middle, and end. And they expect plateaus, crashes, larger plateaus, climax, twist. And I can actually see the chart in my head, and I've taken time to learn how to convert that sort of curve, that sine wave, from the modern novel into a plot where you can give the reader what they expect. Because if you mess those expectations up, the reader will put the book down.
Yeah, I definitely agree. There is room for people to break their mold, but for the most part, we want an exciting twist to something we feel comfortable in. You know, that's why horror so often uses sexuality or comedy to make us feel comfortable before they stick us with fear, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So
or juxtaposition.
Right, yeah. I've always wondered about writers in general, and I'm sure this is different for every writer. When you write a book, do you have the idea in your head, or do you actually, like, write out an outline, maybe like you would a school paper? You know, anytime I've tried to write something, I've actually done, like, this outline. Okay, so they go here, they do this, here's the, you know, and I'm trying to create that roller coaster that you're talking about. You know, what do you do there, or does it just kind of come out of you?
Right, ideas come like quick flashes. They come like celestial visions, and they're fast, and they leave you with a moment of inspiration, but then you have to figure out how to apply that to the modern form. So I will get an idea, or I'll get a twist, or some piece or an element, or I'll go, oh, wow, what a great idea. That, you know, that man's being possessed by a troll. But then you have to, like we were talking about, apply it to that sine wave, to that model. Because there are so many different elements, especially writing short fiction, there are so many different elements you can pick in a story, so many different character moments, but everything in the story has to be necessary. It has to push the plot along. It has to be pushing that reader to that expectation, to that climax, to that twist, and answering a certain question. You know, does he or she survive? Do they get killed by the zombies? Yes, they do, and this happens. But you also have to deal with theme and character growth and arc, which is not just do they survive, but how do they change and transform along the way. And it's a lot to figure out. It's a lot to plan. So, yes, I will take out my notebook. I will take out my index cards.
So you do chart it on some level. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing, so I've always aspired ever since I was a kid to be an author. You know, I never succeeded at anything. I wrote a script or something twice. But so part of my fear of being an author myself has always been that inspiration does come in bursts, like you're saying. And I've always been sort of scared that each burst would have a different voice, carrying the inspiration of who I was at that time and what was going on in my life at the time. And while the story may match, that the voice doesn't necessarily match. Do you find that maybe that's the case and you go back through and have to tie the voice together depending on where you were at in your life when you were writing each part as it came?
That's very true. And it's not just about tying voice together. It's also about writing for the market that you want. There's a difference between writers and professional authors. A lot of people write, and they enjoy their writing, and there's no pressure on them. But to be an author, you have to learn to write from that inspiration, to write from your voice, but also to know how to create another voice, to write for the market that you're writing for a short story, which is very different than writing from fiction. Yeah. You're not writing a novel. So, yes, I will have to go back and change a particular story. Let's say if it gets rejected for one market, I want to send it off to a different theme or a different genre. I will have to go back and kind of find a synthesis, a synergy between the market elements and the audience expectations and my own voice or who I was then and who I am now. And stories grow. You know, I wrote a story called The Last Elf. And it was published by Grey Matter Press by a friend, Anthony Riviera. And it took me 10 years to write the story, and it just went through so many evolutions. And finally, you know, looking back at the first draft and looking back at, like, the 11th draft, it had changed so much, but I could recognize that growth. So I guess the best way to say is you have to evolve to meet your fiction.
Yeah.
And your fiction has to evolve to meet you.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, I'm a musician, and so I write songs, and they tend to be, you know, shorter or at least less investment on a word level, you know. And I found that when I'm creating things that I eventually have to pull myself away and say, no, you're done. You have to let the rawness of what you put in there come across, or you might just be, you know, tweaking and poking at this thing forever. You know, do you find that there's a time when you're writing where you basically have to say, no, I'm going to go through, dot some I's and cross some T's, and I need to be done, and I need to let that art come out, or I'm just never going to be done?
You're never done. I mean, a story will never be done because you're always changing and growing. And it's funny, I never finish my stories. I just run out of time.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
The deadline is due, and you have to get it off. But
I like that. I'm going to use that in my life. I like that.
Yeah, I tell other authors, I'm like, look, there's a point where you've got to stop. You've got to get it out there because we're perfectionists, and we're always chasing the vision, that translation of the vision into the words, and it's never going to be perfect. The moment it gets perfect, we're dead. We're bored. There's nothing left.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Or part of my problem, at least with songwriting, was that I'm putting so much of myself in there that by the time I'm done with the song, I might be a different person. And I look back at that song and I think, what an idiot wrote that, you know? And so that's kind of the hard part where I have to, like, cut it off and be all, no, I'm done. And you got to walk away. And so, you know, do you look back at your previous books and think, like, oh man, I could have done that this way?
In horror, yes. It's very hard for me to read previous work and not see how I could have changed it and improved it. It's also reassuring because it lets me know that I'm growing, but it's also, if an author can look back at a story they wrote previously and feel comfortable with it, then they're in a good place because it never happens.
Right. All right. Well, we're coming up on our next commercial break here. You're listening to our guest, T. Fox Dunham, horror author and host of the podcast, What Are You Afraid Of? When we come back, we're going to talk about an event he has coming up here, Horror at the Fort. Come on back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
I don't know. Sleep, 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 sleep,
Free Fire Radio. 17 years ago on this day, everything changed. We remember where we were on the morning of 9/11 and what has happened in the years since. Our guest lineup includes Shasta Regional Medical Center with an update and advice on dealing with unhealthy air. We will have important information about legal aspects in the aftermath of the fires and the process of cleaning up and moving forward. Tuesday on your Town Hall of the Airwaves, locally owned KCNR. Miss a day, miss a lot. Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is effective life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
In its zeal to declare as fraudulent all adult counseling for same-sex attraction, the California legislature may be on a collision course with the U.S. Supreme Court. You see, the Supreme Court recently declared unconstitutional California's law mandating pro-life pregnancy centers to promote abortion. In that decision, the court also rebuked the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals reasoning in their ruling which upheld California's ban on same-sex attraction counseling for minors. Well, Pacific Justice Institute agrees that this new bill for all adults, Assembly Bill 2943, will likewise ignore free speech and religious freedom as well.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, T. Fox Dunham. So when we left, we were talking about your book, Mercy. And now we want to talk to you a little bit about this event you got, Horror at the Fort. What is this?
Yeah. Heart Fort Mifflin, it's our second time doing it. Fort Mifflin is one of the country's oldest historic forts from the Revolutionary War in Philadelphia. And we have been honored to set up a horror authors event there. We did it last year, and we're doing it this year. I mean, I'm trying to promote more gathering and events for horror writing in Philadelphia. I mean, we didn't really have a horror community. It was very much like a deserted island around here. But, you know, I'm trying to bring people together, and we had some people come down from New York last time, and this time we're focusing more on Pennsylvania authors, and it's a great event out there. We have vendors come out. We set up tables, and then we'll do a horror reading of several selected authors in Casement 5, which is just a haunted, spooky location. I mean, it's in this old fort, and it's very dark, and it's lit by candles and lanterns, and it's wonderful to have the horror authors go up there and, you know, give us their material. And then that night, there's a ghost hunt that they do, that people can come out. And you can find information about that at the website at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com. We'll have of that information up there for anybody who wants to come out who's in the Philadelphia area on October 6th.
So is there an ample amount of fans in the area?
Yeah, there is. Every horror author has a sort of following in the area, friends, family, and people who come to local events. And, of course, horror author fans and horror fans are everywhere, and it's just a matter of reaching out to them.
Yeah, well, I tell my wife over and over that I want my retirement to be making a horror film, and she's just all, well, that's not really a realistic retirement. And I told her, oh, no, horror fans will watch anything. If you could afford to make one once, you could probably afford to make another one, because as a horror fan, I will literally watch 99 terrible films to find that one that is just absolutely beautiful.
And with Netflix, it's easier because we have, you know, a larger variety of horror films out there with less investment that you can take the time and find some real gems out there.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I've been so busy, I haven't had much time to read. I feel embarrassed admitting that, but I am a horror reading fan also. I just haven't had much of a chance to in the last 5 years, but man, this conversation has inspired me. And now knowing, and frankly, I got to tell you, you think that you're in the dry wastelands of like desert island of horror out there. You know, Reading is like culturally lacking in a lot of areas. So,
grass well, then that's why you're online, though. You're on the radio, and you're reaching out to people around the world.
Yeah.
Which is odd, because Reading is exactly the sort of town you'd think would be haunted. It's like Sunnydale from Buffy or Twin Peaks from Twin Peaks. It's like, it's that kind of town, and yet there's nothing.
It's like Welcome to Night Vale.
Kinda.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Am I crazy here? It is. Yes?
It's a little small bit, town, you know.
If all the dark things happen, you know.
Yeah, well, it's funny how...
I think you kind of nailed it there.
Yeah. Absolutely. what about your first two books? I realize this one's tied for second. Were they horror? The first one seemed like it was maybe fantasy that you were just telling us about.
Well, that was my first book is actually called The Street Martyr, and it was a crime novel. I also write... I write in all genres. I mostly got into horror because, to tell you the truth, it was the best-selling genre that you could break into.
That's what I was saying, and man. Loyal fans in horror.
Yeah.
And my first novel was The Street Martyr, which was about two low-level, sort of incompetent Philly drug dealers who get blamed for the gruesome death of a priest. And they have to prove their innocence while coming to terms with their lives. And I'm happy to say that'll actually be a major motion picture from Throughline Films. It's in production now.
Awesome.
And... yeah, so that was a lucky stroke for me, and that was crime. And my second book, Destroying the Tangible Illusion of Reality, or Searching for Andy Kaufman, again, it's about my story with cancer, because I was diagnosed at 18 with a rare lymphoma that I nearly didn't survive. And so a lot of these books are a catharsis for my battle with cancer, and that's more of a whimsical, insane, philosophical novel, also very much like the comical stylings of Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, well, the title, when I read that title, it definitely brought to mind, Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test and sort of these crazy titles. So when I read the title, I'm just all, man, what is this thing about?
And that was the effect, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if Andy Kaufman were alive, he and I would definitely be besties today.
Awesome. So, you know, we're not too far from the end of the show here. So can you tell our audience about where they can find out more about What Are You Afraid Of podcast, and really mostly where they can get a hand on your book?
Well, you can go over to our website at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com, where we've got a page for every episode with information for our guests. Plus, we have an archive of ghost stories on there that people have sent in, that we also have an audio narrative read by our voice actors on there. It's a wonderful British voice actor called David Walton, who does a lot of our narrations, and he's incredible. Now, I have a website over www.tfoxdunham.com. It's still kind of under construction, but you can also go over to Amazon or just type in T. Fox Dunham on the internet and my books will pop up.
And so now that you've finished this book, of course, there's a lot of pushing it on the road, but you know, what's next for you? What are you working on?
Next, I'm working on some short fiction, working on some crime fiction, working on another sort of horror novel called Mr. Bones that I'm shopping around for a publisher for, and a sort of sci-fi novel that I'm getting into. But it's always short stories pop up. I have one coming up on Near to the Knuckle this Wednesday called Tongue. It's a crime story. And just, you know, stories pop up. You take the job, you work on them, and try to put more time into your books. You get so distracted.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like, you know, switching gears would be difficult. I'm a, you know, I'm an owner of a business, but I also do a lot of the work, and I find that switching from the work to the administration can be incredibly difficult, although you still have to train yourself to do it. And in looking at artists and writers and these people, the people who truly find some success are the people who are able to switch somewhat effectively.
Right, and it's very much, I always call it juggling. You're juggling worlds constantly. And today I need to be working on a crime story. Tomorrow I want to put work into this horror novel. And the next day I need to jump back and write an article. So it's always good to have good notes around. But in the end, it's very jolting. It's like waking up from a nightmare, falling asleep, and falling into another dream.
Well, we really enjoyed having you on the show. We're here at the end. Can you give us the website one more time?
Sure. The podcast website is www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com. And you can also find me at www.tfoxdunham.com and also on Amazon. Just type that in. And the book is Mercy, my horror hospital thriller about my battle with cancer made metaphor.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show. It's been totally interesting and very inspiring. I'm going to hate working my typical day job tomorrow as I fantasize about all the things that I could have been.
Well, when you go home, you can start reading Mercy. So there you go. Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Thank you very much for being on the show. You've been listening to T. Fox Dunham here on Radio Wasteland.
Got my orange crush. Come color me. Come color me. The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days.